Welcome back to Fireside Giants with Alex and Anthony. We were at the game yesterday. In fact, we left early. It was not a fun game. It was after the third quarter. We were like, you know what? We're freezing our asses off. Our toes are frozen. Our fingies are frozen. Our heads are frozen. And it was just ugly football. We missed a little comeback attempt at the end, but we know the Giants. They squandered another opportunity to win a football game against a really bad Commanders team that had lost 8 consecutive games. But of course, we are the get-right team for most teams. And listen, watching it in person is equally as bad as watching it on television. But Anthony, I'll tell you what, watching it in person opens up a whole nother perspective of how poorly coached this team is. It's really that bad. Like, the coaching is horrendous. You just kind of watch the lack of basic fundamentals, the lack of awareness, the lack of urgency. We challenged a call in the first 30 seconds of the game, and we needed that timeout at the end of the first half. You know, this, it just was bad, man. We watched a special teams touchdown. I mean, how many things could go wrong? You know, we don't have to go through all of that stuff, but there is some storylines to take away we want to discuss. But Anthony, before we dive into it, how are you doing today, my friend?
You know, I'm doing all right. Yesterday's game was, like you said, miserable. It was super cold. My toes completely froze. I could not feel them. That was fun. But you know what? What was really torturous was not the toes, was not the cold. It was watching the New York Giants play, particularly watching their defense play, because their defense is just a mess. Schematically, they're awful. And I think through the attrition of the game, as it wore on, you could just see the holes on the roster defensively. You know, you see this lineup pregame and you're like, okay, they signed big money safety. They signed a big money cornerback. They've got the number 3 overall pick, Abdul Carter, who, credit to him, he played great. We're going to talk about that. They've got some talent on defensive line with Burns, who's spectacular. But then you watch the game play, and Burns is dropping back into coverage. Burns is playing inside linebacker. Burns is not getting after the quarterback. You've got all these holes in the secondary. I mean, Marcus Mariota was picking the Giants' defense apart. So it's a tough watch, and it's a tough reality when you sit in that stadium. You go in person. It's the winter. It's cold. Nobody really wants to go to these games. But you turn on the TV. Look at Chicago. Completely sold out. Look at Lambeau Field. Completely sold out. The New York Giants, oh my God, they had $4 tickets and they couldn't get people in the seats. It was empty in there. And you could feel the lack of energy every single play. So that was the most jarring thing for me as a Giants fan who watches every single game, never misses a game, to finally be there in person, say, hey, you know what? I'm making this trip, traveling from out of state to be here. I'm very excited. And then realizing nobody wants to go to those games. Nobody is at those games. It was empty, bro. And that was really disappointing and disheartening. And I can only imagine how the players felt, but I can't blame the fans. If you don't want to be there to watch this product on the field, don't. That's how you got to speak to this team. You got to speak with the wallet, and we have to start showing up. It needs to be silent at these games. Otherwise, change will not come. But honestly, after yesterday's game, and considering the Giants are on this 8-game losing streak, I think change is forthcoming. And I don't know how you don't look at this front office and reevaluate if you're John Mara in ownership, because the roster on the field, it's simply not good enough. And it's gotten worse every single year. And that's a direct indictment of general manager Joe Shane.
I mean, listen, the Giants, if the Raiders weren't on our schedule, we'd be walking into the first round, the first overall pick right now. The Vikings are going to beat the brakes off of us. Dallas is going to beat the brakes off of us. And then, of course, you have the Raiders, who is the only roadblock in our way that we could possibly win that game. But I wouldn't put it past the Giants to somehow manage to lose. There is no way that Joe Shane is keeping his job. I mean, if the Giants keep a general manager who's basically just walked this team into the first overall pick with his decision making, and I'll tell you what right now, what that man has done to the safety position for this defense has been an abomination. Like, the mother of God, Javon Holland is very, very suspect at football at this point in his career. I don't know if he doesn't want to try. I don't know if it's a schematics thing. I don't really know what it is, but he doesn't really tackle. He doesn't really do anything, to be honest. So, like, it's a tough watch, man. It's a tough watch. Tyler Newbin, like, disappears. Just straight up disappears. I don't think I actually saw him do anything on that football field yesterday. He doesn't crash into the box. He doesn't help stop the run. It's just really, really bad. Schematically, this team is extremely flawed. Like you said, Brian Burns dropping into coverage. Abdul Carter, though, has the game of his life. We'll spend a couple minutes just talking about him in a couple. But the truth of the matter is, this team is flawed not just because of the coaching, but there is a massive lack of talent at critical spots. Strong safety is basically non-existent. Free safety is basically non-existent. Of course, you have the interior defensive line outside of Dexter Lawrence as non-existent. I think it was had 83 rushing yards in the first quarter. The Commanders did something like that. Like, it was bad. Like, on the offensive side, the play calling was poor. The situational awareness, the situational play calling, like, everything from a coaching perspective was piss poor. It's just like, how are these guys making dollars, like actual currency, to coach this team? Like, actual currency is being spent on their professional knowledge, and it is a sad watch from the stands.
Brother, we are the only team in the NFL that routinely goes 0-4 on the goal line. I don't know how this keeps happening. Week one versus Washington, and again, four tries to get into the end zone from 4 yards out, and they just can't do it. The play calling is like...
We were so mad. It was so... And then I looked at each other, and we were like flabbergasted at the play calling on first and one. We all knew it was going to be an option to Jackson Dart to run the ball. We all knew it.
Not once did they get into the I formation. Not once did they get into 12 or 13 downhill personnel and go heavy and try and run the ball into the end zone. They kept pulling it out of the shotgun, quick passes that were obviously going to fall incomplete. Quarterback dives. I mean, not running back dives, quarterback dives with Jackson Dart. I just don't understand. What's the thought process? What's the logic? And how does Mike Kafka go out there and continue to call these plays so poorly in the red zone? This has been a season-long issue, and it hasn't just been a season-long issue. It's been a multi-year-long issue. He has not adjusted. He's not improved. I mean, for God's sakes, Alex, on one of those play calls, Wandale Robinson was in the backfield. You are at the 4-yard line. Put your fattest running back on the field and run the ball into the end zone. They did it a couple weeks ago. You had Devin Singletary just power through, break a couple tackles, and fall forward. It's that easy. It's really not that hard, but they get so cute, and they make everything so complex, and they don't need to. Just simplify it. Just run basic football, put it in the I formation, and run the ball into the end zone. I don't understand what it is that causes Mike Kafka to call the plays so poorly on the goal line, but I've had enough of it. This offense is hard to watch. This defense is hard to watch. This team is just an absolute abomination, like you said.
Yeah, you want to know what happened on that first play that Jackson Dart ran it to? He had to go get checked for a concussion because he hit his head. You know, it's like you expose your quarterback. I know it was nonsense, but what I'm just trying to say is you expose your quarterback to like hits that you don't need him to take. You know what I mean? Like, you could just run the I formation, get a fullback out in front, and power in. Just run it 3 straight times. Power in. You don't need to expose your quarterback to extra pain, extra hurt, especially in a game that does not matter. So it's like, it's just malpractice across the board. I mean, Mike Kafka, what did he say yesterday after the game? I've never been a part of a situation like losing like this. I'm like, you've been here for 4 years. What are you talking about?
Record last season. They had a 10-game losing streak last season. That was a record in franchise history. So he has been through something like this.
What are you talking about, dude? Just like another head coach lying through their teeth to us. It's just so unfortunate. But, you know, aside from the play calling, which was horrendous, the effort, man, the effort. We watched Brian Burns smash his helmet on the ground, walk around on the sideline. We watched Tyrone Tracy do it as well. Like, people, there are singular players on this team that are very, very upset. Very upset. By the way, we were right next to the family section. 99% of the family was gone at halftime. Like, they left. You know what I mean? Like, it was really, really, really sad to see that people just, even the family members don't want to watch the full game. It's really tough. And you can tell there's a lack of effort. I mean, how about the Terry McLaurin touchdown? Tackle him. Like, can't even tackle him. You know, it's the safeties can't tackle. The cornerbacks are lost in coverage. The linebackers are nowhere to be found half the time. The run stop is horrible. The schematics are bad on offense. They're demoralized. They don't use the receivers properly. It's a tough watch, man. It's really, really tough watch. And I don't blame any fans for not going. After the game, Anthony, how many times did we hear as people were walking by us, why did I do this? Why did I come to this game? Why did I do this to myself? Like, I should have known this was going to be, I could have told you this was going to be a bad, this was going to be a bad game to go to. Not only is it freezing, but it's the Giants. So it's like, you know, and then on the loudspeakers outside the stadium, you have Bob Papa and Carl Banks, and Carl Banks, like, you know, who's known to be positive, ripping this team apart. Like, there's just no effort. It's like even the commentators can't even muster the courage to say a positive thing. So it's like there has to be wholesale changes. The whole coaching staff is going to be gone. The whole coaching staff. I mean, I hope they keep Carmen Priscillo, but I wouldn't even be surprised if they moved on from him as well and just did a whole reboot. And, like, that's coming. If you're going to reboot the whole coaching staff, Anthony, why not just do the whole thing? You can't stop at just the coaching staff. You got to go for the GM too, who is walking this team into a first overall pick in his fourth year, which is just unacceptable.
It's unacceptable. It's inexcusable. And, you know, you mentioned Tyler Newbin, the safety position. Why is the safety position so bad for the Giants right now? Well, it's because they've let Xavier McKinney walk, and then they've poured assets to try and correct that mistake. And that's really been the whole roster. They make a mistake at right tackle. Now they've got to pour assets into it with Jermaine Illuminor, who's about to get paid over $20 million per season. What if they just hit on Evan Neal? What if they actually developed him? Then they wouldn't have to pay $20 million per season to a 32-year-old. If they just extended Xavier McKinney, they wouldn't have to spend a second-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and also go ahead and sign Javon Holland to $60 million per year. If Deontay Banks wasn't an awful football player, they wouldn't have to spend $18 million per season on Paulson Adebo, who also has looked like an awful football player this season for the Giants. It's just a correction of mistakes that leads to more mistakes and has actually just inflated the salary cap for this New York Giants team. Because they keep missing on these players, they have to sign these expensive free agents, they run out of money, and they can't build their depth. So just top to bottom, it's a bad team, and it really does stem from the front office and Joe Shane. It's one thing to point to the coaching staff, which is really bad. Dable was terrible. Kafka's been terrible. Charlie Bowen should not have been the interim defensive coordinator, to be completely honest with you. Shane Bowen was terrible. He needed to be fired, but there were other candidates who have called plays before, candidates with experience on the roster who could have been, on the coaching staff rather, who could have been the interim defensive coordinator. They go with a relative unknown in Charlie Bowen. Why? He's close friends with Joe Shane. He worked with Joe Shane in Miami. That's why they went with Charlie Bowen. Charlie Bowen's defense is terrible. He said that he was going to be more aggressive. He was going to send these guys at the quarterback. He was going to get these pass rushers pass rushing. All I'm watching is Brian Burns dropping back and playing inside linebacker, playing quarterback spy, playing hook zones. He's not getting after the quarterback. And that is so infuriating to me, and I can't imagine how it is for the defensive players who are actually out there playing under Charlie Bowlen's leadership. We know from reports inside the locker room that there were fan or that there were players and coaches who did not support the decision to go to Charlie Bowlen. And I see why, because he is not a defensive coordinator. He is not qualified to call these plays. And the scheme that he's deploying, the defense that he's running, is elementary. It's high school at the best. And that's why you see these players out of position. That's why you have Terry McLaurin running wide open down the heart of the defense on just a simple skinny post route. There's no coverage. There's no kind of complexity to this defense. There's no disguising. There's no real pass rush. I just don't understand the decision making. But again, it stems to the front office and the mistakes that were made, the draft pick misses, the bad extensions, the bad free agency signings, the misses, the players that they let walk in free agency. This whole team is a mess. But again, it starts at the front office. It starts with general manager Joe Shane.
And it ends there. So all we can hope right now is that they do what needs to be done and clear the house. I don't trust the other guys, though, to make the right hire, so I got to see it to believe it. And look, you talk about the scheme, how boring, how dull it is. Truth of the matter is, none of these guys are at the cutting edge of the NFL. None of these guys. These guys are stuck in a decade ago in the schematics. Like, you need to be evolving all the time, disguising, creating new disguises, new things. I mean, for God's sakes, they got the freaking receivers run out of the C-gap in the freaking Rams offense. It's like, you need to have more detail. You need to have more creativity. And the Giants, and I'll tell you what, Anthony, that creativity died the second Kafka took over as head coach. You can see it. You know, you can see the scheme is not even relatively close to what it was when he was just the OC. Like, it looks boring, it looks predictable. He's in over his head, right? And this is exactly the problem the Giants have. They hire coordinators who are not capable of coaching the team and also hiring guys that can do the job at a high level. Like, Charlie Bowen is not capable at this point in his career. Kafka's not capable. I mean, the TE coach is our new OC, man. Like, what are we doing here? Like, this is a freaking embarrassment. It's an embarrassment. Embarrassment beyond belief. And the Giants need to bring in a head coach who, yes, has a specialty, yes, has at the cutting edge, yes, has all those things, is a great coordinator, but they have to be able to lead men, right? Be a great leader. And they also, arguably more importantly, have the ability to go out and get really good coordinators. That is like maybe the most important thing. Maybe the most important thing about the next head coach, aside from being the leader, like a genuine leader, which is obviously non-negotiable, they have to be capable of getting damn good coordinators. So if I'm in that, you know, if Joe Shane's still here, whoever the hell's running these interviews, Anthony, that question needs to be posed. If we were to give you this job, give us a short list of three guys that you like for the coordinator spots, so we can see where your head is at. Like, that there needs to be intel there. There has to be due diligence with these things. So it's going to be a pretty difficult situation. Obviously, they can't interview any of these head coaching candidates, the good ones at least, until after the playoffs come to an end. So they're going to have to wait a couple weeks. They haven't started interviewing anybody yet. They haven't interviewed Mike McCarthy or anybody, which, Anthony, what do you think about that? I feel like that's kind of stupid. Like, they should be interviewing some of these guys.
I mean, if they haven't interviewed anybody, if that's true, and, you know, it's a report that they haven't interviewed anybody, they wouldn't tell everybody if they interviewed somebody anyway. They might try and keep it a secret.
Well, usually but if it's true that this guy...
Yeah, usually it gets out one way or another. But if they haven't interviewed anybody, to me, it kind of says they don't expect the general manager to be making this hiring.
Valid.
Right? That's how I feel about it. They said in their statement, 2 months ago now, when they fired Brian Daboll, that general manager Joe Shane would start the head coaching search. They didn't say he would finish it, and a lot of reports have said that it's not a guarantee that he will make the hiring, that he will finish the search. And the fact that the search has unofficially begun, they've put together a short list, but they haven't interviewed any of these candidates, well, that tells me they're probably going to be looking for a new general manager to interview these candidates and to make the hiring, because I just don't think that they believe in Joe Shane. I thought at the press conference during his bye week, first of all, he showed up super late. He showed up flustered. He looked like he was defensive. He looked like he had just been fired. That's how it looked to me. It looked like he was notified, hey, go out there, do your job, continue to do your job for the rest of the season, but you will not be doing this job next year. That's how it read to me. And I'm going to stand by that, because he looks like a man who's a dead man walking, the same way Brian Daboll looked like that a couple months ago. So I think that Joe Shane, the reason why the Giants haven't done their head coaching search yet, why they haven't had any interviews, it's because he's not going to be making the hiring. And they should be interviewing guys like Marcus Freeman. They should be interviewing guys like Mike McCarthy. They should be going out there and finding candidates that are available for interviews and speaking to them. But why would you do that if the general manager that the person is going to be working with is not in the building yet? So you got to do the GM search first, and I think that's what's going to happen. I think, honestly, Black Monday, the Giants are going to fire Joe Shane. They're going to immediately bring in a shortlist of about 5 general manager candidates that next week. They're going to have a quick process. They're going to hire a guy, and then they're going to kick off that real head coaching search. In the meantime, they're going to put a shortlist together. They're going to reach out to some of these guys, but I don't think they're going to start interviewing them until they make the change at general manager, bring a new guy in, and that guy is going to interview the head coaches. That's how I think it's going to go. Or here's the alternative, Alex. They could interview these head coaches and have the head coaches pick the general manager. That's unorthodox. It doesn't always happen, but it has happened before. And in the case of a guy like, let's say, Mike McCarthy, who's very experienced, has an ability to hire not just great coordinators, but also has an extensive history with great front office personnel executives, he could bring in his own GM. He could bring in a guy that he wants to be that general manager to go get the groceries for him. He makes a list. He's got a guy to go get the groceries. If you're going for a guy like Mike McCarthy, he might bring in his own general manager. So that's one of the other options. But just what it comes down to, Joe Shane's a dead man walking. That's how I read this. And I think sooner rather than later, they're going to make that firing, and then they'll start the head coaching search.
I mean, it was written all over his face during the press conference 2 weeks ago. So, you know, I'm in agreement with you there. Right now, I guess the favorite to land the job is Jeff Halsley. Halsley. Halsey.
Yeah, Isn't that a pop singer?
Yeah, I literally just think I was looking at a post about Halsey. Jeff Hafley. So I think right now the favorite is Jeff Hafley, but I think a lot of people are turning a blind eye to how not surprised we would be if it was Mike McCarthy. And the reason for that is simply he's really, really experienced. He will get you A-plus coordinators. And he knows exactly what he wants, and he has a track record of really helping quarterbacks. You know, he has a track record of really elevating an offense. So, you know, when you look at it in that respect, could see it. He has his problems. You know, every coach is gonna. But, you know, he went through a pretty big remodeling of his own coaching style, you know, before he took that Dallas job. Like, he spent a whole year literally rebuilding his structure and foundation from the ground up. So I'd say he's more toward the cutting edge now than he used to be. Obviously, he just took a whole year off, so he's been kind of bouncing around, like trying to figure things out. But I wouldn't be surprised by that hire. It's not necessarily my preference, but I wouldn't be surprised by it. And I wouldn't hate it, man. Like, the guy gets to the playoffs. Just get us to the playoffs. That's all I want. People are like, I want a guy that's going to get us to the championship. Like, we got to get to the playoffs first before we even think about winning a championship. This dude, Mike McCarthy, knows how to get a team to the playoffs. That's the one thing we can say about him. He knows how to do that. So, you know, I'm happy with that result. Meaningful football in December and January. Like, I think I would sign up for that today if that was a guarantee. You know what I mean? Just give us a chance. You never know. The Giants Super Bowls, Eli Manning, they were not favorites. Not even close to favorites. You know, they were probably the most unlikely to win the Super Bowl, borderline in history, based on how good those Patriots teams were. So it's like, you know, the Giants defeated all odds. You never know. Just get in. And to be fair, Anthony, there's not that many teams out there that are like, we're not beating this team. You know what I mean? Like, Patrick Mahomes just tore his ACL. Like, prayers up to him. The Bills are a very beatable team. I mean, for goodness sake, like, I know the Patriots are obviously very good, but they lost to the Bills yesterday. And they also lost to the Raiders in week one. So, like, there's nobody out there that's like, oh, we're going to get creamed in a freaking in the playoffs. You know what I mean? Like, this Giants team can be competitive. They just got to get the coaching right. I mean, Jeff Hafley, happy with him too. Like, he's a native of New Jersey. Dude knows how to freaking coach a defense. And, you know, he comes from a nice lineage himself. Chris Shula, I mean, he knows how to coach defense, and he comes from a nice lineage himself. I mean, he basically shut down Jahmyr Gibbs yesterday. Obviously, what was the score of that game? Like
40-something to 20-something, I know that.
Yeah, we'll take that, man.
Defense was lights out. You're right, they lights shut down out. Jahmyr Gibbs. Obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he had himself a pretty decent day. But, I mean, Jared Goff, he could only do so much against that pass coverage and that defense. The pass rushers are relentless. Chris Shula's defense is so fun to watch. The Rams are just so fun to watch because on one side of the ball, you got Sean McVay calling the plays on offense and orchestrating one of the best offenses in football with Matt Stafford at the helm. And then defensively, I mean, the talent that they have on that side of the ball is so fun to watch. And it's the main talent, though, is Chris Shula. I really like Chris Shula. He's one of my favorite candidates for the Giants head coaching job. But there are many head coaching candidates that I like, and I just need the Giants to get the right guy in here, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, listen, they gave up a lot of receiving yards, but look, they 41-34 game. Obviously, that passing offense for Los Angeles is no freaking joke. I'll tell you what, there's you throw in Jesse Minter into that mix. Marcus Freeman's a guy you talked about. We obviously a really great leader. I just don't know what his coordinators would look like because he is at the collegiate level. So like there's concerns, pros, cons for all of them. But I want to just pivot, you know, as we kind of wrap up the episode, I want to pivot to one last topic here, the Carter topic, because Abdul Carter, wow, I mean, we saw every ounce of that third overall pick from him yesterday. I mean, he was everywhere: strip sacks, forced fumbles, recovering the forced fumble. We saw him tackle for losses. Like, he was all over the place. That's the type of response you want to see from a player with his back up against a wall. So we've criticized Abdul Carter. The whole fan base has criticized Abdul Carter, and for a good reason. Guy walks in here demanding Lawrence Taylor's number. Guy walks in here missing meetings, late to this, late to that. He stepped up. He was early to the meetings this past week. He was the last one to leave. Extra film study, and look what happened. He had one of the best games of his young career, probably the best game of his young career. So I think what we can look at is this, and I think Dexter Lawrence said it perfectly, it's one game. What makes greatness is consistency. So, you know, I think that's a pretty good way to put it for Carter, but Carter just saw exactly what happens when you do the right thing. Early to meetings, late to leave, extra film study, your best performance ever. Like, there is a positive consequence to a good work ethic. You know what I mean? There's positive results that are correlated to good work ethic. Abdul Carter just learned a extraordinarily valuable lesson early on in his rookie season, in his rookie career, his young career, really early in his career, that if he does these things, the results follow. And that is exactly what you want to see from him. So, you know, I think that people have jumped the gun so fast to write this kid off and call him this and call him that and say this about him. I never believe that bullshit, man, because we've seen so many players go down that course and never recover, never turn things around. We have a couple on our team right now, like Deontay Banks. They never learned how to course correct, never learned how to fix their actions. Abdul Carter just showed us that he can. Now we expect that every week. Now we expect that level of, you know, work ethic and performance all the time because we know he can do it with the extra preparation. So now there's no excuse, you know. I think that's really, really valuable for a young player, and I give him a lot of credit for taking all that smoke and turning it into a positive, because not many guys, especially ones with egos entering the NFL, are able to look inward and fix those character problems at times.
No, I agree with you, and I'll kind of echo your sentiment and say that I'm proud of Abdul Carter for responding to the criticism like that and going out there and playing such a great game. And he looked every bit of the number three overall pick in yesterday's game. I mean, he played like a man with his hair on fire. He was super impressive. But I'm also going to go ahead and try and rein it in a little bit, because while it's exciting, It's just a first step in the right direction. I'm going to go back to what Dexter Lawrence said after the game. Greatness is not having one game like this. Greatness is doing this week in and week out. Greatness is showing up to the facility early and leaving late every single week, not just the one week that you were criticized. That's paraphrasing basically what Dexter Lawrence said, and I think that's the right sentiment because it's great for Abdul Carter to have a moment like that. It was an awesome performance. He forced two fumbles. He had a sack. He had an awesome celebration, too. He looked great in that game, but I need to see him do it more often. You know, there's three more games left to play. Keep playing at a high level. Keep showing up early and leaving late. Keep putting in the work and perfecting your craft and proving that you don't have any, that the doubters need to be silenced. Go ahead and silence them. You got to do it with your play on the field. So I'm excited by Abdul Carter's performance, but I got to see more. You know, it's just the one game. This is still only his second full sack of his career. And since there have been so many issues throughout the whole rookie season with him not showing up to meetings and missing things, this week he did a great job. 100% perfect attendance. Okay, but that needs to be the standard. And in fact, that needs to be the bar. But that needs to be the low bar that you need to clear. You need to go above 100% standard of presence at those meetings. Let's see you stay late. Let's see you get in there early. Let's see you continue to strive to be great the way that those other pass rushers that have been so great for the New York Giants have been, like a Brian Burns, like a JPP, like a Justin Tuck. That's who I want Abdul Carter to be, and that's what I need to see him do, is continue to work hard so that he can be that. So while I'm excited by it, Alex, you're 100% right in everything you said. Sir Lawrence said it best. Being great is not doing it one time. Got to keep doing it. And that's what I'm hoping to see from Abdul.
So I think that's well said. Like, listen, I'm not trying to tell you right now that this is like, you know, absolves him of everything he's done, but it's a really good step in the right direction because he set a new example for himself. And he showed us that he can do it. He showed us that there is that level of talent there. There is that level of work ethic and that humbleness there. And I respect Dexter Lawrence, who seemingly has taken him under his wing, because you know, the way that Dexter Lawrence is speaking about it certainly suggests that he's challenging Carter to get better, that he's watching his every move, that he's stepping in and being that leader for him, because the coaching staff most certainly is not, right? Dable fined him a couple times financially, but whatever. Like, you know, there was no actual consequence in playing time, this and that. He came out of the gate firing this time. He clearly got some good advice, clearly has somebody stepping up behind the scenes to help him. And I can give a lot of credit to a guy like Dexter Lawrence, who seemingly, and Burns, we know, you know, has tried to help as well. So like there's a lot that goes into being a good player, but sometimes you need that veteran guidance. And especially for guys to step up and do that in a season like this, you know, that's a lot of respect there. I do give them a lot of respect for that. So now we just need to see consistency. We need to see him do that more often. And most importantly, you know, finish the season strong and carry that over into 2026, where we expect him to be a much more impactful piece. But you know, this is the state of the Giants, man, where, you know, these topics seem to be cyclical every year. Every year, Anthony and I say to ourselves and each other, next year will be better. We say that quite often, and I think you guys probably feel the same way. But nonetheless, we do feel better because we know there's change coming. We just don't know who that change is going to be and what it's going to look like and what the decision making is going to end up resulting in, what the fruition of it will be. But we're optimistic to a degree because we got Jackson Dart. Even if we don't have the first overall pick, we got our quarterback, and that's so critical. But if you have, and Anthony, I'll let you kind of wrap it up here with your tweet you posted this morning, why the Giants could be such an attractive place to be for any head coach or any GM.
Franchise quarterback in Jackson Dart. I know, listen, there's now a growing number of fans who are calling that narrative into question, saying that he can't stay healthy, that he takes too many hits, and that he hasn't been all that impressive. You're wrong. Listen, he's protecting his body. He got pulled out of that game yesterday for a BS reason. That's the NFL being sensitive because he's taken hits in the past. He has one concussion in his entire lifetime, and that's the one that he suffered against the Bears. I am not worried about Jackson Dart and his concussions. What I am worried about is the Giants' inability to maximize his talent, because he makes throws that Giants quarterbacks haven't made since Eli Manning. I'm serious about that. He extends plays. He reads defenses. He makes changes at the line of scrimmage. He is very advanced for a rookie quarterback, and his play style, I think, is going to be translatable to a new coach who can actually maximize him. So I think the Giants have a franchise quarterback. They also have some really exciting pieces on the defensive side of the ball. Brian Burns, Abdul Carter, Dexter Lawrence. You know, they do have some young talent on that side of the ball. And then you go back to the offense, young playmakers in Malik Nabers and Cam Skadaboo. There are pieces that are attractive to this team. A coach would love to coach Skadaboo, would love to coach Nabers, would love to coach Dart, Burns, Lawrence, Carter. All of those guys are very attractive to a coach. And those guys being on this roster gives a general manager a head start. There is a lot of gutting to do on the roster. There's a lot of other positions that need to be addressed, upgraded, and revamped. But having that head start, having that foundation, that's really crucial. So I think this is a very attractive destination, not just for a head coach, but also for general manager, especially if you take into account that the Giants very well could sleepwalk their way to the number one overall pick. So then you're talking about having a franchise quarterback, not needing to use that first overall pick on a quarterback, and having the autonomy to take whoever you want or trade down and get really creative. That's a very attractive destination for general manager. And I do not trust the current general manager to make the most of the situation. That's why the Giants need to bring a new guy in, but they're going to be able to attract the best general manager on the market right now. The best candidate will want to be the next general manager of the New York Giants. And that's why the Giants have to take this opportunity, remove general manager Joe Shane from his position and hire somebody new to take over, use these resources at his disposal, and hopefully build a good team and make sure that he hires a good head coach, because that's what the Giants need more than anything.
It absolutely is. But, you know, guys, we'd love to hear your thoughts down below in the YouTube comment section. And regarding kind of the state of this team right now, obviously we're all on the same board for the most part. We're all in the same kind of the same boat. You know, Shane needs to be fired. Shane needs to be fired. It's going to happen most likely. It's just a matter of when and, you know, how it's done. So we'll see how things progress on that front. But we got you guys covered. We got content planned for this week nonetheless. We'll talk about some more, you know, head coaching candidates, some GM candidates, any news that drops. Right now we're just, I think we're kind of just waiting until the end of the season, Anthony. That's kind of what it feels like. But at least there's some storylines to discuss. And then the first overall pick, you know, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the rest of the schedule, our concerns, where the Giants could end up. Right now they're a lock for a top 10 pick. No matter what, they're locked into the top 10. The question is, if they win two games, you know, now you're out of the top five. You win one game, now you're this and that. Like, first, second pick, you really want the first pick, because that's where you're going to be able to fleece the Jets, most likely, for Fernando Mendoza. Like, that's really where you want to be. Any wins we get now are completely meaningless. I'm voting. I don't ever root for the team to lose, but it's in their best interest to lose the rest of these games. Raiders pose a problem to that. But, guys, always happy to hear your thoughts down below in the YouTube comments section. Make sure to like and subscribe, as always, and drop a 5-star review on Apple and Spotify if you are so kind. We'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Giants episode, and have a good one. Perfect.